The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, with you on this Thursday, 14 March 2019. Our guest today is Dr. Jane Orient, MD. I'm not going to go through her bona fides, which are lengthy. I need a couple of lungfuls of air to get through that one. The question I had for you, and we were talking about the Oklahoma City Surgery Center, where these doctors, anesthesiologists, specialists all got together, decided to build their own facility, do a cash and carry. We don't need your stinking cards. This is a cash and carry business. They've kept the cost down dramatically, as you pointed out, sometimes one-tenth of what the hospital across the city might charge them once everybody gets their hands into that cash pot. This is a business, doctor. Plain and simple. There are associated costs. There's payrolls to be met. You got to keep the lights and the heat on. And we understand that, and we all know that. But since 1965, the American medical costs have gone absolutely through the roof. What's the main cause for that?
Again, as I said, it's third-party payment, especially when it is subsidized by the government. And the people who are providing the care think it's great, they can charge more and more, and the people who are getting the care don't care about the cost because they figure the taxpayer is paying for it, or they have the illusion that they paid for it in their payroll taxes all their life, not recognizing that was already spent on previous generations of retirees. So Medicare is a terrible responsible for a lot of this. And by the way, Surgery Center of Oklahoma does not treat Medicare patients. They can't, because most of the doctors are not opted out of Medicare. So if they treat one Medicare patient, they are covered by the whole panoply of ridiculous Medicare regulations, including the cost controls. And the administrative burden is huge. Yeah. So if you are on Medicare, I'm afraid you're going to have to find someplace else to get treated.
Well, I mean, but here again, if you are on Medicare, that's fine. There are some surgical procedures that can be done at other locations. And how did you find out, by the way, how did you find out about the Oklahoma City Surgery Center?
Well, because Dr. Smith has been a member of AAPS for a long, long time. And we talked about the problems with Medicare, and both he and I decided at one point we were not going to take their money anymore. This caused a lot of problems for him because, you know, he was an anesthesiologist in a busy hospital, and he would have to tell them, look, I am not taking Medicare to provide your anesthesia. I'm not so I will do it for free because, you know, it's kind of part of my practice. And a lot of people were angry with him.
Angry because the man is trying to do the right thing. Would you chalk that up to a lack of knowledge on the people that were getting angry at him?
Yeah, I think there's this entitlement mentality that is ingrained in people by the government to say that you earned this, you deserved it, and if a doctor doesn't give to you what you think he should, then he is a greedy fat cat and he should be driven out of the profession. And so even when the doctor was saying, look, I'm just not going to take the Medicare money. It's evil. I'm not going to do it, but I will provide your anesthesia and not charge you. People were angry with him for that.
Mm. Well, and the talk now is that rather than have the Obamacare, as it was called, the Affordable Health Care Act is really the title, we had watched many other countries adopt this system, and we kept talking about death panels and people, bureaucrats and individuals making decisions that were not medical doctors on what would be treated, what would be paid for, and what wouldn't. And as it turns out, we were pretty much spot on that. There is care to be denied to people because of age, circumstance, whatever the case may be. And now the push seems to be, well, we can take care of the health care needs in this country. We'll just put everybody into Medicare. Isn't that just another Obamacare scheme?
Well, Medicare is a Ponzi scheme. It was recognized from the beginning. That's how it was set up. And that's how Ponzi schemes keep going, is they keep sucking in more and more so-called investors. So Medicare is bankrupt, and so it wants to get more money to come into the system. But they don't have official death panels, and they met a lot of fun of people for saying that there were death panels. I think it's really worse than that. There's not a group of people who sit there and you can identify them and point to what they do. What they've done is turn the doctors into the death panels, because they have to do – what they can earn is controlled by the government and its third-party carriers. And if the doctor doesn't agree with a third-party carrier, then he can lose his whole professional career. And so it's very much in the doctor's self-interest to agree with what the third party wants rather than to put up a fight, which he's bound to lose most of the time.
We've got physicians that are quitting the profession, or they themselves are becoming I don't even know what kind of descriptive adjective that I could use for these doctors, that they're committing suicide. In what world does things like this happen, Doctor?
In a socialist world. That's what happens under socialism.
I wasn't going to frame that question to you. I'm pleased that you recognize it for what it is, because people have forgotten personal responsibility. You know, the argument was for socialized medicine that, well, you know, it's like the abortion question. Now it's become a convenience that, oh, if I don't take precautions to not stop getting pregnant or whatever, I've got this convenience. It's called abortion on demand. And I can have that done in any Planned Parenthood center, and it's no big deal. Who's paying for that? You know.
Well, they want the government to pay for it. And worse than that, they now want to be able to force doctors to do it. A lot of doctors, or most doctors, will not do an abortion. And then if that inconveniences people, well, you got to do something about that. They have a right to it, so somebody has the obligation to provide it.
Well, okay, on the issue of it is a right in this country for health care, what's your position on that?
Well, I think that's just obviously false, that it cannot be a right. A right is something that you are entitled to protect. Like, you have the right not to be killed. And if I come up and kill you, then I'm a criminal and I can be punished. But if you say that you have a right to medical care, what happens if I don't provide it to you? Do you have the right to my labor? Can you punish me? Can you send me to prison? Can you put me in shackles and make you take care of you? If you have the right to medical care, what does that do to me? What does that do to my rights?
Well, I've always said everybody's got the right to medical care. I mean, you know, we're not making it sound like you go to a doctor. Doctor just takes one look at you and might read a chart or see prior medical information and go, nah, I don't like you and I don't like your disease. Get out of my office. That's not what we're talking about here. It's this entitlement mentality in this country that somehow, because we're the richest country in the world, and I hate to break it to people, we are the most indebted country in the world. You know, I mean, let's not. I hear the socialists out there, the AOCs and whomever else, doesn't matter what politician it is. Well, we're the richest country in the world, and we should be able to. Well, not under this form of government. Everybody's got to take their responsibility. Everybody's got to play their responsible part. And I tell people, yeah, you certainly have a right to health care. You can go to any doctor anytime that you want. What you're complaining about is the ability to pay.
Well, oh, no, you don't. If you are a Medicare beneficiary, you do not have the right to go to any doctor you want. You only have the right to get what Medicare will pay for. And if you because Medicare forbids you to have insurance outside of Medicare, and if the doctor takes your private pay for something, then he's a criminal.
Oh.
So if you want something or you need something that is not available under the conditions that Medicare offers, you really can't have it unless you go to a doctor who's opted out of Medicare or unless you go to Canada or to some offshore country. Canadians can't buy medical care, but Americans can buy medical care in Canada, and Canadians can buy medical care here. But the whole socialized system is set up so everybody in, nobody out. You get whatever they think you should have, and that's it.
And this is not the way this is supposed to work, folks. I mean, I just... You know, the socialists do not understand, and nor do they recognize, that, first of all, where the funding is going to come from. Just because they want, somehow the government's going to pay for it. Now, the government's not in the business of making profit. They're in the business of collecting taxes, collecting other revenues, and then distributing for the programs, many of which I do not agree with. In this country, I do believe, Dr. Orient, we were better country when we didn't have the retirement setup, so-so security, I call it, that this money was contributed by the individual and from the company he worked with. It was put into a fund, and that was supposed to be there when they retired. Well, nobody told the people that, wait a minute, that went into a general fund, and the government robbed that on a regular basis. We got really sick and tired of every 4 or 5 years hearing, well, Social Security is broke. Why is it broke? That's because you've stolen the money that rightfully didn't belong to you, and you shouldn't have had the ability to go in there and tap that money. That was not to be touched. That was supposedly put into, they created a term called lockbox. That was put into a lockbox that nobody could touch. But they did, and they kept doing it. Now they're trying to shove us over to the little socialistic system called Medicaid. And it's been my contention, I don't care if it's Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, these are wonderful little thoughts that somehow the government can go in and manage it and make it fair for all and keep the cost low. It's not only not the truth, it's an outright lie. And these socialists keep wanting to give the government more power, and then they want the demand to pay for it. But once you put the people of that mindset in government, what have you just done to the government, Doctor?
Well, you've turned it into a tyrant, and you really misunderstand. People seem to think that the government has money, which it doesn't. It only has what it takes, or that it has any ability to provide medical care. It has to coerce people or pay people enough to make them willing to do that. It turns us all into serfs.
Sovereign Man will make you the last caller of the day. Go ahead.
Hey, John.
Go ahead.
I wanted to let you know that there is a document that was put together by Al Whitney called Overcoming Vaccine Mania, PDF. I believe it was on the front page at one time. But it does actually list some documents for noticing the physicians and hospitals, and also for noticing the schools about the vaccinations. See, the problem is we're volunteering into these things.
Well, everybody is volunteering. And some people, the school systems, California is a good example, Hawaii is a good example. They're trying to make the mandatory vaccinations for all children. Otherwise, your kids can't attend our schools, okay? The efficacy and the safety of these vaccines, that is what's being brought into question.
That's true, and that's the dichotomy we're in. We're having people, you know, offering us goods and services out of the barrel of a gun.
I could not disagree with that. Let me take let me take another caller here, Wayne in Texas. I want to get you in before the break. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, John. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question for the doctor, and that is, what are the chances she sees that elderly Americans receiving Medicare and Social Security benefits are going to soon have to take mandated vaccines that are probably still being developed and going to hit these shelves pretty soon?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Well, I think it's kind of the next step. I think it's incremental, and they're going to work. They've forced vaccines on certain adults, you know, healthcare workers or teachers, and then, you know, yeah, I think that it just never ends. Once they have the power, it keeps expanding.
You see a time frame coming?
No, I'm not going to try to predict the future.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'm gonna skip this break here. Who do you got, Mike? Dan in Boston. We're all over the country today. Hello, Dan.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, this is Dan in Boston. I called the other day. Just a question for the doctor. Like Canada, they have private hospitals and private clinics. It's just that the insurance is more nationalized. Is that true? It's more of a non-profit co-op?
Well, no. This is a...
I mean...
They do have a few private hospitals and clinics, but they are under fire from the government. The government really wants to shut them down because they claim that they are violating the Canada Health Act or something by enabling people to jump the queue by taking money for services that are supposed to be free. So your ability to get private medical care in Canada, if you are a Canadian, is very tenuous.
I got my LASIK surgery up there because it was cheaper at the time. I just used to go to Canada a lot, and they would laugh at me about. They would say, you know, you guys spend on one aircraft carrier a year, you could cover everybody in your country. It's like,
yeah, but you can get unnecessary things in Canada like LASIK. But if you need a life-saving procedure, then you may be on a waiting list for years, and most of the traffic for life-saving things are from Canada to the U.S. from people who decide that their health is more important than their loyalty to socialism.
Well, we're about the only country without national health care, right? I mean, does that make you a socialist country just because you have a insurance system that covers everybody, you know, whether they're employed or not? Is that the...
Well, actually,
or not.
Western Europe has a very extensive social welfare system. They almost every place except Canada has a parallel private insurance and parallel private clinics that you can go to. Canada tries to seal off that escape hatch. And by the way, it is maybe the second most expensive country in the world and does not come close to these countries that have a parallel private system as far as accessibility and quality of care.
All right. Dan, I thank you for your call. I'm being crunched here for time. I'm going to skip this break because there was something else I wanted to ask you, get your take on this. You're familiar with the Surgery Center, Oklahoma, and I'm very glad that you are. I've talked about this several times. I think I even interviewed years ago when they first started the clinic. I thought, geez, what an outstanding idea, because we all saw where the medical industry was going and how expensive it was getting, and nobody was offering any other solutions to the obvious problems we were facing. Doctor, do you see in the future that we'll see more surgery centers like what Oklahoma City has got right now, that these physicians and anesthesiologists and specialists and whatever the case may be, they've had it with the system, they've had it with the government control, they've had it with the insurance companies, they've had it with the administrative hospitals they work for, and they say enough is enough, and they strike out and do their own thing? Do you see that as a wave of the future?
Well, I hope so. I mean, there are some imitators of the surgery center, but Oklahoma is more liberal, or may, which by the old meaning, it's more friendly to free enterprise than some other states. A lot of states have certificate of need laws where you can't do something like this unless you can prove a need, and you can't prove a need because the hospital will say, we already exist here. We don't need to have a competitor who's going to charge one-tenth of our price.
God forbid.
So there are all kinds of government regulations that make it increasingly difficult for people to provide a free enterprise service.
You know, what you mentioned earlier about the states deciding the healthcare issues, how they're going to handle it. You know, on one hand, this is a double-edged sword. You do realize that, Doctor, that states taking over, where they're looking at the federal government going, you know what, we see your dictates, your unfunded mandates, we see the control that you're trying to take, and we don't want a part of that. But isn't that also dangerous, that rather than have something sane for once coming out of the federal government, that the states are left up to the devices of what their people want? And again, bearing in mind that we have a bunch of people, half the people in this country now identify with socialism as being a better form of government than the old capitalist system.
Well, it is dangerous to assume that the state governments are any less corrupt than the federal government.
Thank you.
It's just that there's a chance there might be some of them that are better than others, and you can vote with your feet. I mean, it's really inconvenient, of course, to pull up your roots and move to some other state. So we really have a pervasive national problem of this entitlement mentality and this belief that socialism is going to be different this time than it has been during the 20th century when it caused 100 million deaths.
And they just don't seem to get that. Tom in Philadelphia. Hello, Tom.
Hey, good evening, John. Hello, Doctor. When I was in the military in 1976, I was forced to take the swine flu shot, which almost killed me from a seizure. And ever since then, I have never taken another flu shot. And for the last, 6 years that I've been going to the VA for my medical, they keep trying to give me the flu shots and pneumonia shots and all that. And they walked in one day with a needle and a little bottle. And I said, what's that? And they said, well, this is the flu shot. I said, you come near me with that, I'm going to jab you in the eye with it. And ever since, you know, after the experience I had, the schools tried to make our two boys get the immunizations, and we refused. So they said, well, you have to get them immunized. I said, well, so with the immunization, that's going to protect them from the illness, right? If they have their shots, yes. Well, if all the kids in the school are immunized, then what's the problem? They won't get, my kids aren't, then your kids are protected. And they just refused. So we said, well, we're not going to send them to school. They tried to send the cops.
That's
after
an interesting,
so we homeschooled them.
Tom, that's an interesting point, because I've heard that argument brought up before.
Yeah.
Well, they'll just brush it off and say, well, the vaccine is not 100% effective, and there are kids that can't be immunized because they are immune deficient in some way. So it's your responsibility for your kids to protect them by getting vaccinated.
Yeah, well, we just homeschooled them, and, you know, we ended that problem. So, all right, well, thank you for bringing this to everybody's attention. What's that? I'm sorry.
More people are looking at homeschooling as a way out, but they're coming after the homeschoolers too.
Oh, absolutely. Can't have the basis for this culture and this society, a strong family unit. Can't have that.
Yeah, well, they always insisted, well, if you homeschool them, they won't have a social, you know, they won't know how to socialize. My kids had so many kids in the living room. When I came home at night, I had to step over them from living, you know, sleeping in the living room for overnight.
Well, that's because
they didn't. Good night. Thank you.
That's because they didn't have an idiot as a father.
Yeah.
By the way, I know Tom in Philadelphia well. There's a familiarity there. All right, thanks, Tom. I appreciate your call.
Tell Mike I'll call him in a few minutes.
Okay. All right. So maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to salvage something of a. One other thing before I let you go, I wanted to talk to you about the VA hospitals. Now, you've been in a couple of them, one in Dallas, and where was the other one? Out in Arizona?
In Tucson. I was a VA doctor for almost 5 years.
Okay. I had occasion to visit a VA hospital outside of Cleveland, Ohio, in Brecksville. Nice facility, well-run, didn't seem to make a whole lot of mistakes and took very good care of the veterans that went to that hospital. What's been your experience in the VA hospitals?
Well, I think it varies a lot. I think there are some of them that do a pretty good job, and there are some good people who work there. But there are others that are just very bureaucratic and that do a pretty lousy job, and they claim to be providing good service, but they kind of doctor the records. So I think it's a mixed bag. I don't think that we want a VA system any more than we want Medicare for all or HMOs for all.
Yeah, because one of the problems that you just indicated with national health care is being on a waiting list. And this was happening at the VA hospitals. And I don't know if you remember the movie Article 99.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, well, that's something, if you have some spare time, doctor, I mean, it's online, it's on Netflix, it's all over the place. Look it up and watch it, because it dealt with the very subject matter that we're talking about, the running of the VAs, how well that they treated patients, what they would do. I mean, there was just all-out anarchy in this one hospital, and they said, you know what? Our primary job is to take care of the veterans who put their lives on the line. And they threw the bureaucrats, cast them aside, and went to work. It's a very fascinating movie to watch. Rob in Wisconsin, and I'll make you the last call. Go ahead, Rob.
Thanks. Great. I love the subject here, especially since this morning I read the article that they're going for trying to pass the bill for national vaccines for all, free for all.
Uh-huh.
And I know they'll get one in me, John, you know, when once they put enough lead in me to stop me from shooting back at them to try and get the needle in me. That's as close as they're going to get with a needle to me for a vaccine.
But, no, I got you.
The one article that I saw too was, over in England, or they have socialized medicine now, and it's coming out that there's roughly 30,000 deaths from waiting lists.
I wouldn't doubt it. I would not doubt it, because what we're talking about are cases that immediate care has to be administered, otherwise the patient's health condition deteriorates and they die. I mean,
there is no wait for things.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
All right. Rob, I hate to cut you short, but I am all right. Thank you for your call, Rob. I'm out of time here. Dr. Jane Orient, if you happen to be in contact with Dr. Smith, tell him I would love to interview him.
Okay.
I'm more than pleased to have you on the air and to demonstrate that there are people that are in the system that see it for what it is, and they're trying to fight against it. And that is what's needed. In order to stop this socialistic whatever we're seeing in America today, identity politics, I don't care. I don't know the last time a politician came out and said, I support and defend the Constitution, and by Jiminy, I'm going to use that as my guideline. Maybe Dr. Ron Paul, but that was about it.
Okay.
All right. Well, Dr. Jane Orient, I appreciated very, very much you being on the program today. And hopefully I can have you back, not for the hour or 2 hours, whatever the case may be, but maybe some short appearances depending on your schedule.
Yeah, shorter is better, because I'm just up to my ears and deadlines.
I got you, and I understand. I really do appreciate you coming on for this length of time today. And again, Dr. Jane, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
All righty, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
All right. yeah. Okay, no more calls to Dr. Jane Orient, because I ain't no doctor and she ain't here no more. At any rate, I had a bit of good news today. I was almost in my yippee-ki-yay stage. Almost. What did I see? Well, finally, the Southern Poverty Law Center fires co-founder Morris Sleaze. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me make a correction there. Morris Dees. But of course, the article itself is more flowery than it is factual, and never did get around to the point as to why Morris Dees was fired. Because the guy was a pervert. That's why. Let's take the break. We'll come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wrestling with a computer here. What did Tom say about the Firefox versus the... Okay. But the Explorer is my caller page. Okay, well, then how do we not do that? You got the guy on the phone right now. Ask him. He's got a remote. He can get into this computer. Yeah, this is all you need to do. It's like a doctor giving me surgical instructions via telephone. All you got to do is... Yeah, okay. At any rate. socialism. So I wasn't going to lead the doctor. I had absolutely no idea she was going to bring up the socialism issue, but she is aware of it, and I am eternally grateful because this is what's happening all over the country. And the most ironic thing I've ever seen in my life, that the little snowflakes out there, they're always yammering about the rich and the corporations and this, that, and the other, but yet they want you to bow down. They want to give all the power to the corporation known as the United States government and disperse money that they don't have, that they're going to have to borrow, and then somehow we're going to live a life of utopia and fairness. Folks, you know, do we have to have a national shoot the socialist day in this country? I've asked this question before. Once socialism and communism starts infecting the body politic, let me put it to you this way. The life expectancy of the previous form of government, it's on notice, and it will go bye-bye. So what is the best way to get rid of these socialists? Half the people in this country, folks, many of the millennials, think that socialism, yeah, that might be worth it. That's cool. Yeah, let's try socialism as a form of government. While those of us that know better and are sitting there watching this, we're sitting here in abject horror, pulling our hair out, going, what in the hell is wrong with these people? Well, it's a lack of education, number one. Okay, not so much indoctrination, but familiarizing you with your form of government and how it's supposed to operate. Classic example, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, this, I mean, she might be okay at a dance party. She might be okay at, a backyard barbecue. She might be entertaining. She might even have something of value to say outside of politics. But where are these people coming from? And how in the hell do we get rid of them? I don't know, folks. The only thing I can say is pushback, pushback, pushback. How many of you, let me ask you a question. How many of you have called your local TV station when you hear one of the trusted talking heads on a local TV station refer to your form of government as being a democracy? Have you made a call to the general manager to that TV station? Your favorite radio host, and I've heard them use this, democracy, democracy, democracy. The politicians, they are stumbling over themselves to see how many times that they can get the term democracy in their 3 or 4 minutes on air, on whatever news outlet. Have you guys made those calls? Have you been pushing back? And this may sound trite to you. It might sound useless to you. Oh, well, what good is one little phone call going to do? Let me explain something to you. Politicians are extremely sensitive to what that voter bloc is saying. Okay, first of all, I wouldn't call up a local Congress critter, whether he be state or whether he be federal. I wouldn't say that I'm not of your party and I didn't vote for you. I wouldn't even bring up the issue of what I am, what chieftain party feathers I'm wearing, whether I'm a Democrat or Republican or independent or a Mohican. I wouldn't give them anything. I would just simply deliver the message and get on with it. When they start getting 50 calls, 100 calls, 200 calls, when their switchboards are flooded, their emails are flooded, their Twitter accounts are flooded, this makes a difference. It makes them extremely nervous because the thing that they're eyeballing is their campaign funds and how do I get the next term in office. When they start to get the idea that they may not get there, a lot of these people will fall in line. Now, you may think that that's trite, and, oh, yeah, well, that sounds good, John, but it's not going to do that much good. I beg to differ with you. And, folks, if you're not willing, And we're not asking, you know, to pledge to a political organization that's going to fight for your conservative rights. I don't even know what the hell conservative rights are. Any more than I understand anything but constitutional rights. I don't recognize anything else. Either we have a country and it is a republic and we're going to operate it according to the Constitution, or we're not. But you would think that this would preclude the AOCs of the world from getting in there. Because how can you take, if you're a self-proclaimed socialist, how did Bernie Sanders, for God's sakes, how did he ever get to be a senator from Maine when he's a self-proclaimed socialist? How does that square with I swear and protect and defend the Constitution and for the republic, not the democracy, for which it stands? How in the hell can they even take office? How can they take the oath to be seated in office? They can't. But nobody's out there reminding them. Nobody. And here we sit, millions of us, just grumbling and stewing in our own juices and complaining that, but you've not made your voice heard. And I'm telling you, you the individual, just little old you, making that one phone call to your state senator, your state legislator, to your Congress critter, whoever they be in Washington, D.C., it makes a difference. I wouldn't want to be the 12 Republicans that voted against the emergency that Trump declared about the southern border. I wouldn't want to be them come the next election cycle, because this is going to give the opportunity for a true conservative Republican to take their place. We've had enough of the communists. We've had enough of them. And the only way that these snowflakes can wield political power is by getting into office. And then, oh, all hell's going to break loose here. They seem to want solutions to their every problem of their life, but they're willing to hand over the power to government. And that, folks, is the end of our republic. Now, maybe I'm oversimplifying this. Maybe it's clearer to me than it is to you. This is the way I see it. This is my opinion. But based on everything that I know and I see, short of pulling out guns, folks, and going on witch hunts for socialists, I see no other way of doing this. Won't you at least make your voice heard? Won't you at least send an email? Won't you at least do a tweet? Yeah, I know. They're shadowing, and yeah, I get that. Okay, so directly, go to the Capitol switchboard. Go to your Congress critter. Go to your senator and say, hey, look, I don't know who you think you're representing out here, but my God, this is not a democracy. This is a republic. And the rule of law is by way of that Constitution, and you're ignoring it. Good luck with re-election next year. Once they get the idea. Now here, turnabout is fair play, folks. If their perception is that the voters, their constituency out there, is going to turn on them, you'd be amazed at how fast these creatures fall in line. Because what do they want? Oh, that's right, they want another term. They want another term in office. I didn't get it done in this term or the last one or the 10 before that, but this time around, I'll get it right. Well, folks, don't complain. If this country goes into a full-blown civil war because the government no longer recognizes the basis for its own self, well, then one of two things are going to happen at that point. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die at the hands of some government bureaucrat from some agency. Dan in Washington. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call me devil's advocate a little.
All right, you sound a lot like Dan in Boston.
No, it's Washington. I just kind of, I'm tired. I've been working a lot, so I try to slur my speech. I live in Washington State. Actually, one of my Congress, I think, voted against that emergency declaration.
Yeah.
So she's one of these, you know, rhinos. But my thing is, they had one chance to secure the border, because in a free market, you can't have it flooded with cheap labor, right? So they've been flooding America with cheap labor for, what, 30 years?
Or more.
And, yeah. And so, you know, the wages are not going to go up. So you're in a situation, and the Republicans don't, there's nothing that they offer working people other than maybe a chance of securing the border. You know, they're against minimum wage, all these things that you have to rely on the government when the free market fails, because they've ruined it already.
Well, it may be shocking for you to find out, Dan, that when we were all up in arms here about NAFTA, and we had heard the warnings from certain politicians, one of them was even, I would classify as being a statesman, Dr. Ron Paul, was warning about, this deal with Mexico. And I was looking at this, and I'm going, my God, where are people going to start getting the idea that a sovereign nation has the right and the ability to secure its own border? But I saw the Republicans, along with Democrats, singing the same song about, we need cheaper labor, you know, the cost of business. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, okay, well, the same argument came up with China and the trade deals we had with them. We had people just absolutely getting rich off of this cheap labor and cheap goods pipeline flowing into this country from China. Hell, we even had American companies pull up roots and go over there because they're eyeballing the bottom line. Nobody is considering the impact that it has on the culture or the society or the country that they want to peddle their products to. You know, I mean,
exactly. And yeah. They've shipped the jobs over to China, and then they've shipped the immigrants and lowered our wages. So we're basically a plantation nation now. And, so it's kind of Hitler, actually, if you read Mein Kampf, warned about this. He said the bourgeoisie, if they would have been a little more sensitive to the plight of the working people, they wouldn't have faced these communist revolutions that were happening.
And don't you know that Adolf Hitler was the one guy that understood the encroachment and what the communist and their theology was made up of? And he certainly recognized that. You know, this hype book burning, well, you don't want to burn books in America. Well, no, the book burnings that happened in Berlin in Germany were all the communist trash that the communists that infiltrated Germany, that's what they were out there burning. They weren't burning the ABC school books. They weren't burning a book because they just didn't want anybody but Mein Kampf out there. No, this was an all-out assault against the communist doctrine that was infecting Germany. And look what the hell happened to them. Thank you for your call, Dan. Let me switch gears here. Southern Poverty Law Center has fired Morris Dees, the nonprofit civil rights organization co-founder and former chief litigator. It's about damn time. SPLC President Richard Cohen said in a statement Dees' dismissal was effective on Wednesday, March 13th. And that, folks, was yesterday. Do you know what I didn't see on the news anywhere? On the news, on Fox News, on MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and it doesn't matter. This little fart, they popped this guy's pimple, he's gone. But none of the media covered it. When pressed for details on what led to the termination, the organization declined to elaborate. Okay, well, let me elaborate. People had it with Southern Poverty Law. They began to know who Morris Sleaze. He didn't get that nickname because it was just cool just to throw out a detrimental description of this man. I'm not for name calling, especially when it's not deserved. But this man deserved every criticism he got. He was bisexual. He went after his 14-year-old stepdaughter with sex toys. You know, and this became part of public record from his wife, Maureen, in the divorce proceedings. This was all recorded in court. At the wonderful Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C., old Morris and another guy wanted to have a threesome with Maureen, a homosexual threesome. She goes, you know, I don't think so. Finally, she'd had enough, filed for divorce against this creep. These are the things that have been circulating for a number of years, but nobody would talk about it. Nobody would put it out there. Well, I certainly did. I remember a radio station in Detroit, Morris Dees being on, and I called in. The host name was Mark. Forgive me, I forget his last name. I'll think of it here in a second. But I called in, and I said, I got a question for your guest. Yeah, go ahead. Is it true you went after your 14-year-old daughter with a sex toy? Well, there was no answer. The only answer you got off of that, it sounded like a telephone hitting a wall, and that's exactly what it was. Mark kept asking, Mr. Dees, you there? No, Mr. Dees was not there. The phone was scooped up off the floor, and the interview was officially over. But these are things that people knew about Morris Dees. This was public record about Morris Dees, but he's been protected. Why? Because he wanted everybody to be all-inclusive. He wanted everybody, I guess, to be just like him. As a civil rights organization, SPLC is committed to ensuring that the conduct of our staff reflects the mission of the organization and the values we hope to instill in the world. Wow, those are pretty lofty. And exactly what are those goals? Not what you and I would think as being goals. They want it all inclusive. They want you to tolerate every perversion, every sort of garbage that you can think of. That's what this organization's about. So when they talk about the values we hope to instill in the world, yeah, yeah. Cohen said in an emailed statement, when one of our own fails to meet those standards, seriously? Seriously, when one fails to meet those standards, failed for so many years. And you notice that Morris Dees' public appearances in the last 10 years became less and less and less. You know why? Because the truth was out there about Morris Dees. This wasn't a salacious, just throwing something out there to damage somebody's reputation. This came from his ex-wife. This came from public record. When asked, you know, is this, have you reconsidered, are you going to go through this divorce proceedings? Yes. And here are my reasons why I seek to dissolve the marriage. Boom, 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 boom. And she laid him out in court. But nobody, and I mean nobody, had a word to say about this. It was almost like it didn't happen. I saw it and I reported on it. Well, he started this little gaggle of, you know, accept all the perversion in the world. He started this back in 1971. Finally, when somebody did get a hold of Dees by phone, he said, it was not my decision what they did. I wish the center the absolute best, whatever reasons they had of theirs, I don't know. Yes, you do, you little liar. You knew exactly why they fired you. A co-founder of an organization that's been around for damn near 50 years, and one day you get a phone call, say you're fired, and you don't know the reason why you were fired, you're a liar. On Thursday, today, he said he hadn't tried a case in at least a decade and hadn't recently been involved in day-to-day operations, the SPLC. Dees' termination is one of several steps taken by the organization this week. That's because they're getting sued, folks. Did you know that? Yes, they're actually getting sued for what they are and what they have been doing. So you want to clean up your act. You want to cast off that dirty, nasty stuff that keeps clinging to you like barnacles on a hull of a ship. You want smooth, clean sailing. You don't need to be drugged down. So they think by firing Dees, this is going to spiff up the SPLC's image. I think not. Today we announced a number of immediate concrete next steps we're taking, including bringing in an outside organization to conduct a comprehensive assessment of our internal climate. and a workplace practices to ensure our talented staff is working in the environment that they deserve, one in which all voices are heard and all staff members are respected. Well, Mr. Cohen, you can take that and stick that in your ear, because we know what your organization is about. By the way, this damn thing is worth about $500 million. $500 million. Morris Dees. Jeez, old Pete. 82 years old. You know, I... See you, Morris. And I'm glad I had a little part in you being made to go bye-bye. There's a bunch of other stuff that I wanted to cover today, and I'm running short of time here. Folks, even I know what I wanted to bring up before we parted ways today. Even the business reports that I'm starting to see are actually taking a second look at what Donald Trump is trying to do with imports into this country and to have a more balanced trade. Because what is starting to dry up now is the quantitative easing, which is still going on to some degree in the stock market. And the party boys there on Wall Street understand the party is almost over, so they're going to have to go back to old school. You know, real businesses producing real things and having real value. Okay, that kind of thing. And they're starting to soften their position on Donald Trump and him trying to renegotiate these trade deals with countries like Japan, China, you know, and other countries. The guy's trying to do the right thing, and he's being held up as he's, you know, aside from being a list of other things, well, he's just wacko and he's dangerous, and we need to impeach him. And to do what? So you can have the next Nancy Pelosi in office, or God forbid, an AOC in there? Or, geez, give me an old, stupid, pervert, old white dude. Who's the vice president? Wasn't it Joe Biden under Obama? Well, he seems like he's the front runner for the Democrats. Good. Donald Trump doesn't have to spend half the time on a campaign trail. Identity politics, folks, has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has to do with their democracy, of which I want no part of which I will die defending. And that's just not a colloquial little term. I mean that. What, do you think the only time this country needs defended is when you got an alien army busting in your borders and threatening the security of your state? Most countries, ladies and gentlemen, have fallen from within. Not by conquest, by internal disorder. Holy mackerel. All right, that'll do it for us today. I'm glad you were here. I had personal things to take care of the last couple of days that I have been putting off. And I apologize, but that's stuff. I've got an entire network and household and my entire life to run, and I needed the time. So if you missed me, good. If you didn't, but I appreciate and thank you for being here today. And I'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. We shall see you then. Thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.